Well, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me while we were having our time of worship here. Hallelujah. And I want to ask the Holy Spirit to bring that back to me because I believe it's something that needs to be said outward. I know He was speaking to me, but it's for all of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, bring that back to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're living in a time of revelation, and revelation is coming forth. This is a time when God is revealing Himself and showing Himself. But those who want to walk in revelation and those who want to walk in this place that I have for them, it will be required of them to seek me diligently. Yes, in the past, I have let people get away with many things, but not in this day and time. Men must seek me, must take the time to look for me. And I will refresh the revelations of the past to you that you have known. The wells you have drank from before, I will bring those revelations back to you anew again. And I will bring revelations of this time, and things will be shown to you to walk in this day and hour, that you can know my glory beyond what you have ever known, and you will walk in it and rejoice. But seek me diligently, come after me, and I will reveal myself to you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Seek and ye will find, knock and it'll be opened unto you. Hallelujah. Well, that there in the Bible, I've talked about that many times. We use the word just seek and people think, well, just look a little bit for something, and that's not what it means. It means to be diligently after something. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us, is to be diligent. Glory to God. Well, this morning, the Holy Spirit had spoken to me last week about ministering along this line concerning dealing with the areas of where it isn't just because it's Easter, but and I just entitled it, I just seated in heavenly places. And we're going to be probably, as I get a sense of the Spirit, we're going to be talking about these things for a few Sundays, because it's going back over some revelation that has really been lost in the church. It isn't a matter that it hadn't been taught. These truths we're going to begin to look into are things that when I was a young Christian, and I know with like, you know, being around Mike when I first, you know, we got going along, and I remember, you know, things that we used to, you know, things that were being taught back in those times and that stuff. But these revelations we need to understand have been lost. And we're going to talk about a revelation here is one of the main reasons why the United States is in its position that it's in today, the problems that we're in. It's because the church is not walking in revelation. The church has lost its revelation. It's walking in the knowledge of men. Many ministers can quote things from the Bible, but they don't have revelation of the Bible. They give book reports. You know, anybody can give a book report. Anybody can sit down and read the Bible and tell you things it says. That does not mean that you have revelation on what's said. I know that many don't have revelation because I can tell how people live. The way people live is because you'll see what has been revealed to them by what they do. You know, just having information is not enough. Information don't get it. You can have in your mind know and quote a scripture, but it's never been revealed to you. It's not something you can walk out and live. You know, I've watched over the years. It's always troubled me because I remember back in the 80s and the teaching and the areas and things and the ministry of healing and how many people, you know, what was going on at that time in the body of Christ concerning healing. And I walk today and I look at the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is sicker than it's ever been. And they talk about healing. But they can't get it. And the reason they can't get it is because they don't have revelation of it. They've lost the revelation. They think because they heard something or knew something in the past, but they're not walking in the revelation of it today. You got to walk in the revelation of things today. You got to have, you know, the Bible doesn't say, you know, that if you seek, you know, you just find something and forever you don't ever have to seek again. You know, you just go on. You know, faith comes by hearing and that's it. You don't ever have to hear again. But that's the way people have walked along. We've walked along in human knowledge, human understanding, and we've used our minds, and we're trying to be intellectual concerning the Bible. And the Bible's not designed for intellectualism. It's not. It's a book of faith. It's a book that is respond to. God desires that we respond to Him by faith and not by intellect. You respond to God by your mind and your thinking, and it won't go anywhere. I can quote a scripture, but that doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. Jesus said about when you say with your mouth, it's what you believe in your heart. It's what you have inside of you. He didn't say, well, if you can quote it, you can have it. Well, then all we'd have to do is just take a scripture and we just read it out and say, well, there it is. Now that's going to take place. Well, it doesn't go like that. So we have to walk in the truth, the revelation of what God's done. If we look at most of the church world today, and I had said before in talking in the opening of the service, that the majority of the church world has no idea what the resurrection's about. They have no clue. I was born and raised in a church, and I mean, they were nice people. They got saved. But they knew nothing about what the resurrection was about. They had no clue what it was for. It was for Jesus. You know, they sincerely honored and loved Jesus for what He did. But they never saw themselves in what Jesus had done for them. They had no clue. They had no clue. They basically saw themselves as people that, you know, God really don't need me and I'm just unworthy and all that kind of stuff. And those were the things, and really they thought to them, and they weren't being bad people, but they thought that was humility. And it wasn't humility, it was ignorance. Ignorance of what God had done. And as I said in opening here, the condition of our nation is in direct proportion to the ignorance of the church. And I can prove it scripturally. I can prove it. I remember in Bible school, we had a class called church history. A lot of people didn't like church history. I love church history. I like things about history because there's one thing as I've learned over the years about history. You learn something. You're never going to find out nothing new. You find this out. Whatever is happening today, it's happened before. It's, you know, everything comes around again, and it always comes around again because all this, they said, well, we need to learn from history. The people who will not learn from history are, if you get yourself educated, you'll never learn from history. The only way you're going to learn from history if you walk by faith in God. Because we can look back through history and we see, just like in our nation. I mean, you think about all the people we have in our government from the people we vote in all offices and things. They're all educated people. They're all people who went to colleges and everything and all that stuff. It's turned out real well, didn't it? Well, and if you ask them, many of these people, they had history courses. They didn't learn a thing from them. They didn't learn anything from them. Truth comes from God. I don't care what you show man. Man in sin will always repeat sin. Man without God will always repeat wrongdoing. He'll never quit doing it. A Christian who won't follow God will repeat sin just like a sinner does. They'll be identical. And we need to understand that. We're in a condition in our land were the ignorance of the church. But anyhow, in our church history classes, I'll never forget, the instructor in our class was a gentleman called Cooper Beatty. He was up in years when I was there, and he finally, just a year or two ago, Cooper Beatty went home to be with Jesus in a ripe old age. But I'll tell you, he was a guy that was just on. He, to me, I love listening to him teach in church history, but I'll never forget his introductory to church history. And man, it just grabbed me, and I wanted to listen to the rest of the course. A lot of people just didn't really go for it. A lot of people complained about it because it was such a hard exam in the course. And I think I got one question wrong in the exam on the thing. But I loved it. I mean, I loved the class. But he got up and said this. He said, you look at history. He said, history follows the condition of the church. He said, you will find at any time the problems that are going on in the world, he said, you'll find the church is a mess. The world's a mess. It always follows. When the church isn't walking spiritually and isn't walking right, history follows that. The people begin to follow in the direction of the way people are going spiritually. And then he began to teach the subject, and he started teaching the condition of the church and history at the time. Most phenomenal. You'd find revivals come along. History would start to change. Things would start to change, move in a good direction. And then turn around, church worldwide would sort of get all messed up, and then things would head off down the tubes again. And you need to understand, that's why we're in the condition we're in today. Many Christians, many ministers, and from big names on down think that they're doing well today, and they're not. They're blinded from truth. They think, you know, that we're okay. We're not okay, or the condition of things wouldn't be like they are. Understand this about yourself. You will never change anything as long as you think you're all right. As long as you think you're all right, nothing will change. See, the arrogance of Christianity came to the place it thought it arrived. And now, many are further back today than they were when they started. See, we can't go to that arrogance. You know, you can't go to that place. It's still a walk of faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, listening to the Holy Ghost. It never changes. It never changes from the things. No matter how much I know about the Word, I still must trust Jesus Christ and listen to the Holy Spirit. It never changes. I still have to go back and read those Scriptures again. I still must go, and we've lost that. That has been lost in the church. We've lost it to the things of getting, you know, somebody's nice little thing to read in the morning, you know, their little job. Now, you might get some good things, but you ain't going to survive doing that. You're not going to survive on somebody else's revelation. You need God revealed to you. You need God revealed to you. I've learned that a long time ago. I would listen to the things that Kenneth Hagin would teach. I would get revelation from them. But as I sought God, God took many things that Kenneth Hagin taught and brought it into me personally that fit where I was at, what I was doing, where I was. See, many people like to hear what God did for somebody. That's good. We can cheer that on. But what good does it do you if you can't get it for you? It means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I don't care what God did for David in the Bible. If you can't kill Goliath, forget it. The devil's going to eat your lunch. We need to understand these things. We're in a condition today, and I'm not saying it's not people. There's people who are really seeking God, but I'm just going to tell you this. It's a minority. It's not the majority. It's a minority of people. I'm going to tell you what. There's a minority of people keeping this nation alive. There's a minority that's keeping this nation running, or it would have gone. You think it's bad now? If they would not have stood, it would have been worse than you could imagine or believe. Ones who knew to stand with God, the ones who knew. And we need to understand this. This is why when the Lord spoke to me back, it was probably 1982, it was, walking the streets of Lebanon. And I can tell you what I was at. I was walking down Walnut Street at the time. The Lord told me to walk through the city and pray. And I'd go out that time and I'd walk down around the city and I'd walk through and I'd pray and I'd walk through and meant I just praying in tongues, walking the streets of the city. He told me to do it. I was walking down, and I'll never forget, I was at Walnut Street down near First Avenue, down at Lincoln Avenue. I was walking up the street from there. And the Spirit of the Lord just came on me really strong. And He said, there's a revival coming in the end days in this valley. He said, there'll be a powerful move of the Spirit. And He said, it's not going to happen because of this generation. He said, I'm going to do it because others have prayed. Ones who have gone on already and have left this earth stood and prayed and sought me. And I'm going to, He said, you're going to experience a revival that they brought to pass. Why? This generation hasn't sought it. This generation hadn't gone after it. We say we want it. Wanting something is not seeking it. Do you ever really seek something? I know what it is to seek. Just naturally to seek things. There's sometimes I'm trying to find a certain product or a certain thing. And I want a certain thing. And you know, there's 40 million products and people offer all to do that. And I know what I want. And I will go through more things. I'll go through stuff. Go online and check. Check in the store. Finding out. What? To seek to find the thing that I want. And I get set. I get myself set. I ain't going to accept for something less. I want. There's a certain thing that I want. And I'm going to find it. And I'm going to do it. Well, you know, you got to be that way with God. And people need to understand that. There's things that we have to desire and we have to want. Back some years ago, I was seeking the Lord. And just like, you can be hooked up with the wrong things and the wrong people, and it's going to keep you from finding the place that God has for you, and you will not enter into what God has for you because you hang with the wrong people. I want you to know that. And they can be Christians. I was seeking the Lord. I had been praying concerning some years ago. about the move of the Spirit. And I wanted a move of the Spirit. I wanted this community. And I was praying about these things. And at that time, belonging to a ministerial group that I belonged to, which were all, you know, Spirit-filled. Loads of them were Rhema people. The guy that ran the thing was a Rhema minister and everything else. And I just noticed over the time that they kept getting further and further away from things of the Spirit. You know, getting more over into natural things of, you know, a lot of things of ministry, they got more natural than they did spiritual about. And I noticed it going on. But I never really said anything to the Lord about it. But I'm over praying about it because I want to move of God. See, I want to move of the Spirit. I've seen all that men can do, and I've had about enough of that. You know, you just will want to go stick your finger down your throat and go throw up. I've seen all that men are doing. But I was seeking the Lord about it and just sort of minding my own business, just asking God. You know, I'm telling God, you know, my earnestly desire that what I want to see are the Scriptures. And I would take the Scriptures and read things to the Lord, say, here's what the Word says. And the Lord speaks to me and He said, if you stay with that group that you're with, you're not going to end up where you want to be. See, I had to move away from people I was with. Why? Because they weren't moving in the same direction I was. Oh, they were Spirit-filled, and you know they knew about talking in tongues. They knew about, but they weren't heading in the same direction. Now, when I look back today and see the direction that they took to where I'm at, boy, we were heading in different directions. Their direction is natural, you know. And we need to understand this. We need to understand. That doesn't mean that we're around people, but you got to watch what you want to get close to. We have to know. You have to hear from the Holy Ghost where you belong, what you're supposed to be doing. You don't go pick a church you want to go to. You listen to the Holy Ghost. Over the years, you wouldn't believe how many people have come to this church and have told me God told them to come here, but as soon as they come here, they hear preach what they don't like and they're out the door. They ain't going to obey God for nothing. They ain't going to obey God because, see, they want to go to the church that makes them feel good. And they say, well, God told me to go there. I'm going to be real happy. God sends people here to get cleaned up. If people want to stay the same, I can show you a lot of churches you can go to and bars you can hang out will probably do you just as well. It's good preaching anyhow. I'll tell you what, I'm on a mission. If God doesn't move, we're done. Then you better start, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because I don't want this thing to last out if I ain't going to go after God. Because I'm just going to tell you, 2016 is going to get ugly for some people. It ain't going to work well. People are going to see what they wish their eyes wouldn't have seen. And we need to know it. And I'm not doing be me. God, we're in a move of God. And I'm going to tell you, to me, I have never seen such light coming from the God side, yet I've never seen such darkness over on the other side. I'm totally, totally convinced of Charles Capps's funnel. I'll tell you what, you better get in the center of the thing. It is very easy to get into darkness today. It's easy to get into darkness today. And I don't want to go there. I want to stay in the light. I want to hunger. Says we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we would be filled. We got to hunger for it. We got to thirst for that. You know what it is to crave for something or really want something? Say, man, I could eat a certain thing and I'm down. Man, let's go do that. You know, one of us, I say, man, I'm just really hungry. Let's go get this to eat. Let's go do it. You start hungering for it. What do you do? Sit down and say, yeah, well, I'm really hungry for it. You know, I could really eat a steak, but I'll tell you what, I'll have a salad instead. Now look, I like salad. I eat salad. But if I'm hungry for the steak, we're going after the steak. You know, that's what you want. A salad isn't going to do it. You know, green beans ain't going to solve that one. You know, if I'm hungry for some good ribs, you know, my words, you know, if I'm really hungry for some good ribs, you know, a bowl of ice cream ain't going to do it. I like ice cream, but give me them ribs, you know. That's what I want. And spiritually, it's the same thing. You know, if you look on the inside of you, you will see there's a hunger in you, there's a drive in you. But you can suppress it, not pay attention to it. You can suppress it. Don't suppress it. I'm going to tell you, feed the fire. Feed the fire inside of you, and I will guarantee you, you will not regret it. I want to read some scriptures to you that Paul said We'll end up backing up in Ephesians, but in introduction today and the direction we're going, I want you to understand some things. Paul, in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, said something to them after giving them a insight into some things, the revelation that God was bringing to him, through him, to the church. And in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul said, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me." That word actually, dispensation, should have probably literally been stewardship. There's a stewardship of grace that he had. In other words, God had gifted the man, and he is a steward of that gift. And it's for these Gentiles. He said, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already." So Paul briefly wrote a mystery, and I understand it. It's a mystery. There is something, there's things that you need to understand this. There are things of God that are mysteries and are not out there known. I remember years ago, I heard back many years ago, I heard Keith Moore preach a message. Maybe taught, I don't. But anyhow, what he talked about, his message based it on the things in this. God is hidden. See, it doesn't matter that God, people say, well, God's everywhere. Well, I know that God's everywhere. But I know this. Most people have no contact with him and don't know it at all that he's around. Many Christians get born again and have no contact with God, yet the Holy Spirit dwells in them. They don't have contact with God. They don't even know he's there. They talk about, oh yeah, God's in me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just going to sin, you know, that's just the way we are. Well, you know, they have no contact with God. There's no contact with God. See, God's everywhere, but God is hidden. God is hidden from those who don't understand his mysteries. Mysteries are to be revealed. They're to be sought after so man can know God. God is hidden by our ignorance. God is hidden from us by ignorance. And think about this. I mean, I know in my own Christian walk, there was areas as I go along and I've developed and learned, I realized that there were certain things that God was hidden from me on because I didn't have revelation about. So really, I wasn't coming into contact with him in that area. And all of a sudden, I get some revelation in that area, and it's like, oh my words, we have a whole new conversation going on, me and God. And we need to understand that. See, most of Christianity today they'll talk about the resurrection of Jesus as if they've arrived. And they have no clue what the resurrection's even about. They don't even know. If you ask most Christians what they do, it's like I said to me, they're asking these people, Christians, what it's about. Forgiveness of sin. Do you know the forgiveness of sin was not done in the resurrection? It was done in his death. He paid the penalty for our sin in his death. They don't even know. The church has done nothing but worship death. They're death worshipers. The cross, the Bible says, is a place of sin and shame. And the church has lived in the shame up to here. We continue to live in the shame instead of living in the resurrection. We live in the shame. See, God becomes hidden to man. And man looks at God as still being far off. He's untouchable. You know, I can't touch it. I can't. He's so holy, and look at me. Jesus had to die for me because I was a scumbag. Yeah, that's what I was, but I'm not anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a priest and a king. That's what the Bible says. Well, say, Ed, you don't look like one. I don't care. I'm going with the Bible, not what I look like. The Bible says what we are, and we need to arrive at that place to see ourselves where we are. Understand this, God will always be hidden from you till you walk in the light of what he said. You must agree that what he said is true. You can walk around and talk about your shortcomings, your inabilities and that stuff. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It isn't about, I can do all things. Say, boy, it sure don't seem it. I don't care. The Bible says I can do all things. So therefore, we're not going to talk about things that I can't do when the Bible says I can do. Well, see, people don't live by faith, so God stays hidden. His power and his glory stays hidden, and the resurrection produces nothing. The only thing that will cause you to walk in the plan and purpose of God is if you live in the resurrection power of God. If you do not live in the resurrection power of God, you're always going to be a weak Christian. Our place to live is in the resurrection. That's our place. Hallelujah. Raised together with Him. Resurrection power. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Well, you know, I'm just so unworthy. I'm not. I always think about Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin got himself in trouble, got caught up to heaven. Jesus was talking to him. Jesus rebuked him for not doing some things that he had told him to do because men were giving him a hard time. He quit doing it. But anyhow, he fell in front of Jesus down his feet. And he said, "Oh Lord, I'm so unworthy." He said, Jesus said to him very sternly, "Stand up on your feet." And he said, when I looked at him, it was like lightning was coming out of his eyes. He said, "I made you worthy." Jesus don't like the junk Christians talk. Jesus don't like the trash talk of Christians. And it ain't nothing but trash talk called humility, and it's not humility. We cannot contradict what the Word says and turn around and be buddy-buddy with God. Do you know what Jesus said? You know, one of the big things in all this love teaching going on around out of here, people are always talking about Jesus Christ being their friend. Do you know what Jesus Christ said about being friends? He said, "You're my friend if you keep my word." If you don't keep Jesus' word, I don't care if you're born again, you ain't his friend. He said to the disciples, "You're my friend if you keep my commandments and keep my word." That's what he said. He didn't say, "Nah, you guys get born again and you'll just be my friend. Do whatever you want. Once saved, always saved. You're just, woo-wee. We're just going to all tiptoe through the tulips together. I'll play the ukulele. We'll just have a great time." The church don't read the Bible. Most ministers don't even know that that's in there. Because you don't ever hear them say it. So they could not know it's there, or they won't preach it. They're just preaching what the people want to hear. You see, we need to come out. Revelation's not front. God stays hidden. Remember how they would knock, you know, say, "Well, us word people, you know, back in the 80s, we know the word." And boy, I tell you, those Lutherans, they don't preach the word. Boy, if any group don't preach the word today, it's the Spirit-filled people. Boy, they have their certain scriptures that they hang on, and boy, there's loads of them we don't talk about. Hallelujah, because it don't fit our nice little doctrines we've made. They don't fit them. See, we need to go back and let God reveal Himself. There's a glory to walk into. These things and these the things that I'm saying here and speaking here, if we learn to walk in these things, I'm going to tell you what, it'll take us to a level to walk in a glory, and you'll sit and wonder, why did I ever accept anything so less than the glory He had done prepared for me? This is what I found. I found out that I could have been walking in some things years ago if I would have quit paying attention to some people and what they were saying. If I would have just listened to the Holy Ghost in me, He'd have led me to some places I could have walked in a greater glory. God's not doing anything to hurt us. He wants us to go walk in glory. Why? Not just for us. If somebody can arrive at a place of glory, He can bring other people to that glory. But if nobody goes to the glory, look, you ain't going to get preachers around you to do all this. You're going to have to start doing it. You want to change people's lives around you? You change. You walk in a greater glory. Quit praying for them. Start praying for you to change. Start praying for you. Lord God, teach me something. Lord God, reveal to me. Hallelujah. Why? Because we want to change people's lives. And we can't do it. It is the truth that makes us free. So I've got to embrace the truth whether I like it or not. Whether my little old flesh cares for it or not. There's one thing, the flesh may not like it. But I'll tell you, once you get the revelation and you start to walk in it and you start getting the benefit of it, after a while your flesh will say, "Oh, we should have done this before." I remember the hard time my flesh used to give me on the areas of healing. Oh, man. I'd get over there and I'd be walking and confessing the word. My flesh would say, "You better do something. You better do something. You're going to die, you idiot. You just don't." You know, my flesh was bugging me constantly all the time. till my flesh got to understand this stuff works. And my flesh quit bugging me about walking in faith concerning healing. My flesh don't bug me about that anymore. Because my flesh has experienced the glory of it. And it said, oh, that works. Oh, that's nice. I like that. Your flesh will fight you, but if you continue on a course to walk in the glory of God, I'll tell you what, you're going to run into God. You're going to run into God's goodness and His greatness and His mercy and His kindness. And I'll tell you what, even your flesh is going to have to say, this is good, this is good, this is good. Your flesh won't be able to argue with it. Your flesh won't, you know, your flesh don't like to be sick. Only a stupid mind likes to be sick. But your flesh, my flesh don't like to hurt. I don't know about yours. Maybe you enjoy it. Think it's pretty good. I don't. I don't think it is. And my flesh likes it when it feels better. And my flesh has learned over the years, because it went for 30 years of living like the world did and going through all the pains and the agonies of things with no recourse other than what man could do or I could do. And when my flesh found out that this stuff over here works and pain, I can get it to stop, I can get things to stop, my flesh thought, wow, we ought to do this more often. We need to be doing this. Hey, let's stand in faith so we can get this stopped. I don't, my body said, I don't want this no more. My body will agree with it. Hallelujah. But if we walk in this glory, if we go over and yield ourselves to the glory. Anyhow, hallelujah. So there's a revelation. Paul said, back over here again, verse 3, he said, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly made already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. See, the revelation of God and power and all those things run together. They run together. See, many people, they want power. What most people need to understand is what they need is a revelation. The more you, God reveals Himself, the more you can walk in the power of God, the more you can yield yourself to the power of God. You know, it's just like you could have electric lines out here running down through this town, electric lines. And there's nobody here that understands electricity. Nobody knows how to hook up to it. That power's there to do all kinds of things. But if you can't hook to it, you don't know, have the expertise or the idea of what you do with it and what it runs, you wouldn't get any benefit out of it. Well, that's exactly what happens in the Bible. The God's power is always available. We're not trying to get God's power. You're trying to get hooked up to God's power. And through the revelation that God did, God has mysteries that are not just thrown out there and revealed. There's mysteries for this age and this time that are in the church age we have by the Apostle Paul was not revealed before. He said it was revealed to the apostles and prophets. He wasn't talking about the prophets of the Old Testament. He's talking about the New Testament. This is the age that these mysteries are revealed. You cannot go back to the Old Testament and find things that are written in the New Testament about the glory. You know, the Old Testament talks about God, you know, He's going to reach the Gentiles. No one had a clue till Paul gave the revelation in the New Testament where we see what God was really going to do with the Gentile. You can't find it in the Old Testament. It ain't there. That revelation, it's a mystery that God had hidden. It's a mystery. The mysteries of God were hidden that not even Satan. The Bible says if Satan had known, they'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. See, Satan thought he was really, we're going to get that Jesus and kill that bad boy. We're going to fix this one up. What's God going to do about this? And boom, there was a mystery he knew nothing about. It wasn't revealed. Nobody knew. Just think about this. All the times Jesus spoke to the disciples about His raising from the dead, they never got the revelation until after He was risen from the dead. They didn't even know. Even though they heard words spoken, just because you heard a preacher preach the word don't mean you have a clue what he said. If it ain't been revealed to you, the Holy Spirit's the revealer. The Holy Spirit's a revealer. I found this out. There's revelation sometimes. I remember Kenneth Hagin used to teach on things, and I used to think, you know, what he said sounded good, but I'd think somehow, man, I don't know if I know understand what he's talking about. And you know what? I wouldn't understand what he talked about till I started seeking God about it and going to God. What on earth do he mean by that? What exactly is that? I know it sounds good, but it's like somehow I knew on the inside of me I wasn't hooking up with that. You need to understand this. No matter how much I preach and how much you listen to me, if you aren't seeking God about things and what's preached and what's said, there's a lot you're never going to get revelation on. It'll never come to you. We have this idea, well, if you just go sit in enough meetings, you'll get it. My words, I go down to Randall Greer's meetings, I sit there and listen to them things, I come back home, and if you realize how many hundreds of times I'll listen over those same messages, over and over. Lord, what's he talking about with this? Lord, I want to know. I want a full revelation of what he's saying about these things. I want to know something. Most people come to church Sunday morning, never listen to ever the subject again, come and say to me, boy, that was a good message. Never listen to it again. Never, ever hear it again. And the revelation they got that morning is gone. You got to get them in you. You got to get them in you. I don't know any other way to do it. It's the only way that I've ever been doing it, ever since I've been born again. You know, I learned under Kenneth E. Hagin. And there's one thing is I learned about the man early in the beginning. I'd sit down, he'd talk about how he sought God, how he prayed, how he went after God, and how he'd do all this. I just sort of got the idea, if you want to know God, you're going to have to do it like he did it. I didn't think, most people today, they think, oh, that's the preacher's job to do that. I don't have to seek. I can just get busy doing everything else. This is what we've done. America's got busy, and God has been hidden from America. America's busy. We're busy. Man, our busyness has cost us so dearly. It's cost our nation financially trillions of dollars, our busyness. Has cost us. It's cost people their families. It's cost people their lives because of our busyness. We don't know what's going on around us, and we got it. We got to find out. We got to be able to seek God. God, there's mysteries that God had. Paul's revealing a mysteries to a church, telling this church about these mysteries that God ordained. Now, you know, I made mention about it, and I just want to say this as going in here to this, because Paul's speaking of these the mysteries. And he's saying, look, I'm giving you these mysteries. And we need to, you know, Paul doesn't come along and talk to the church. He doesn't talk to these people. Well, you know what the mystery was when Jesus raised from the dead? You got your sins forgiven. That's what you got. I am sad to say this, but most evangelists I've ever heard don't even know many things about what they call the gospel. They don't even know it. I have very seldom ever hear accuracy in the gospel. It's one of the things that I really appreciate with Joe Purcell. Joe Purcell was moved by God to go, and he was over the Rhema Bible Training Center in Singapore, but now he's going to the other, over in Asia area, is speaking in these schools. And also to other ministers and getting ministers groups together. And he's teaching about an accurate gospel. He is training ministers to preach an accurate gospel. In America, most, even major ministers on TV, need to go to school to sit down with somebody to teach them how to preach an accurate gospel, because they don't preach the truth in the gospel. The gospel is better than being preached. We preach a gospel of sin instead of a gospel of salvation. We say salvation, but we preach the gospel of sin. Sin is what dominates. Sin's what rules. Now, in 2 Corinthians, the revelation, and you got to get, I remember as a young Christian, I got this revelation, some things Kenneth Hagin was teaching, and I got over in looking at this in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. You guys have heard me talk about this, but I want you to understand this, because this ties to the revelation that we're going to eventually go on in teaching being seated in heavenly places. There's things that we have to understand about what God did through Christ Jesus. What was God doing in Christ? Now, in 2 Corinthians, these familiar scriptures, verse 17 in 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have come new. In other words, a person is a new creation, a new created being in Christ Jesus. A new created being. Most of the church world talks today about, you get people over and they believe in being born again. They'll say, oh, we believe in being born again. But yet, most of them, I've talked to people already, I've talked to them directly. They tell, yes, we believe in being born again. But you get them talking about their true beliefs and what they believe. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. They don't believe they became a new creation. Most people do not believe, even who talk about the new birth, don't believe they became a new creation. Well, they already cannot get close to the mystery revelations that Paul's trying to bring, because they still see the sin. They still think they're in their nature of sin. They still think, well, you know, we got to go to heaven because we can't live like any heaven here, because we got to get there because we're just down here. We're just old lowlifes, and, you know, we're never going to get it right. We're never going to do it right. Hallelujah. But, okay, so he says, we're a new creature. Now listen to what he says. Now all things are of God. Now he's saying to the believer, all things are of God. Now he said, now look, this church here definitely understands how to live in the flesh. They've done it. Now he just told them, now in this new creation, all things are of God. See, most of the church world and most Christians view themselves by the outer man and not by the inner man. They talk about themselves, what they are on the outside. They talk about their fleshly weaknesses and failures and everything else. Paul tells them, you're a new creation. All things are of God. My born-again human spirit, all things are of God. It's born of God. It's been made alive to God. That's what the Bible says. It ain't dead to God. It's alive to God. That's what the Bible says. The real you, the part of you. Now listen to what he says. Now, what did God do? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, understand this. He said this. God reconciled us to him. God did that. See, that's the part that's done by God. God reconciled us to him. See, we talk about the time that we accepted Christ, but we don't understand this. God reconciled us to him first. And when did he do that? He did it through his death, burial, and resurrection. He reconciled himself to us. Through the death of the cross, God reconciled you to him. Now listen, now he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, being reconciled to God. In other words, to reconcile, if we would use it from the terminology like somebody, it's like balancing the books. Here we were, all sin. Jesus was all righteousness. Jesus took our sin and balanced the books. Now we're all righteous. That was phenomenal. Honestly. And Christians talk about like they're just old sinners. And it's like, you know, that's just like, Jesus, come over. I'd like to slap you in the face. You're an idiot. You're so dumb. Who could believe it? I know you say we're righteous, but you just don't get it. I'm an old sinner. Saved by grace. Ah, that's all I am, an old sinner. And say, we're seeking God. What God? Hallelujah. God died. Now, we have the ministry of balancing the books. The books are balanced. It says that's our ministry. So, we as the church have a ministry. And that ministry is the ministry of the balancing of the book, the reconciling. Now listen, what he says. Here's Paul's writing. Phenomenal. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Who did he reconcile to himself? The Christians? The world. The world. God balanced the books with the world. He didn't say he balanced the book with the Christian. The book was balanced with the world. Were you told that when you come to Christ? Weren't you told, you need to get your sins forgiven. You just need to, the books ain't balanced. You need to get this thing straightened out. Now, look at that. He reconciled the world to himself by how, what did he do? Not imputing their trespasses against them. God is not holding sin against man. This is what they always tell you. Here comes the evangelist. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. No, what you need to do is thank Jesus for taking care of your sin. He's already not imputing it against you. Why would you be asking him to forgive you of what's already been taken care of? We're supposed to be preaching the world. See, I found this out. The world has been preached this lousy gospel. And I run into people over the years, and this is what they do. People come and say, and I'd say to them, talk to them about Christ, and they would say, yeah, but my life's so messed up, you don't know what I've done. See, they have been always told, you're trying to get God to forgive you. If they were preached the truth about the gospel, I'm sorry, it's too late. God's already forgiven you. 2,000 years ago, he already said, the books are settled. No, we tell them it ain't settled yet. You've got to go crawling on your belly to God to try to get forgiveness. We're preaching a false gospel. We preach a gospel of weakness. Our gospel is a gospel of victory. Jesus already won the victory for the sinner. When I came to Christ, the accounts were settled. God had already, 2,000 years ago, reconciled Ed to himself, and I didn't find out till I was 30 years old. And it had never been preached to me by any Christian. Billy Graham never even preached it. He preaches, you need to get God to forgive your sin. That's what you need to do. But Jesus ain't did it. We're supposed to tell the world, you know, God's not holding your sin against you. Come on down, the price is right, dear Lord. No, we preach a works gospel. We preach a works gospel, talking about grace free. We didn't know what it means. I mean, the book is so good. I believe people get in their intellectual mind and say, can't be that good, can't be that good. No, we got to put something in. God can't just let us slide by on this. My God, he couldn't do that. But listen to it. He says, not imputing their sin, trespasses against them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Telling mankind, God's already dealt with the transgression issue. It's done. Jesus already took the sin of the world. He's not going to. Hallelujah. When you come to Jesus, hallelujah. You come to Jesus, come and thank him for taking care of all that for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that a different approach? Isn't that a different? I'm going to tell you what. We would hear a lot better things if the gospel would be preached in its true glory that it is. Paul saw it in the glory. You know, just think about that. Paul takes a church that is living carnally, and what does he do? Did he preach him a works gospel because he wanted to get at him? No, he comes and tells him this revelation is so absolutely wonderful. Hallelujah. Now listen to what it says. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on God's behalf to be reconciled to God. Now listen to this. What did he say? In other words, what the sinner is supposed to, what we're supposed to tell the sinner? God's reconciled to you. All you got to do is reconcile yourself to him. He's got to accept what he did. Have you ever heard people preach that God's already reconciled it with the sinner? God's always already reconciled to every sinner. Is Paul got a weird gospel here? Is this? No, it isn't. It's the truth. And you know what he said we're supposed to tell people? You go tell them God's reconciled himself. Now you just reconcile yourself to him. Just, you know, he's not hostile towards you. You don't have to be hostile toward him. It's all good. It's all good. That's what we're supposed to be preaching. That's the gospel. God's been better than it's been said. It's been said. Why? Then he says, what happened? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Oh, my God. I can take a running spell. Glory. Hallelujah. The gospel is so wonderful. God is so good. And today we're having a time of resurrection, but most Christians are thinking in the line of death. The crosses will come. The crosses stand out further than any empty tomb. Sin and shame becomes the emblem. And then we keep putting Jesus on the cross. I want you to tell you this, he ain't there no more. Hallelujah. He came off that thing. He went to that cross and reconciled Ed Gibson to God. I walked on this almost 2,000 years before I got on this earth. Even born into this earth, I was already reconciled to God. I was already. God had already, through Christ Jesus, almost 2,000 years ago, reconciled me to God. God was just waiting for Ed to come and reconcile himself to him. That's all he was waiting for. I was never told that. I had never been told that by any Christian. No Christian ever told me that. I was always told, you know, that's one of the big things that I was going to come to Christ. You know, I was, and these are my stories, an alcoholic and everything. I couldn't see how I would get delivered of alcohol. See, I thought I had to make things right and get things right so God would accept me. And that's all I had ever been told as a Christian. You know, you got to be a Christian. You have to give this up and give that up. Give this. And you got to do this and you got to do that. I'm going to tell you, you could have done none of it anyhow. If you don't get saved and get the new creation, you forget it. You ain't going to make it work anyhow. So forget it. But see, we were told those things. And see, the gospel is so wonderful. What Jesus did, when Jesus died and he went to hell and paid the price for sin, he reconciled the books. He paid the price for everybody's sin when he went and was punished for all men. We don't ever have to get him to do it. He never has to be punished for the sin of any man today. He doesn't be punished for the sin. And no man has to be punished for his sin he's in if he reconciles himself to God. Why? The books are clear on God's side. God's saying all you got to do is get the books cleared on your side. The books are already clear. I've already dealt with the sin issue. See, there's no sin issue to coming to Christ. It's a Christ issue. As many as receive Him. It's about receiving Christ. They tell you, no, you got to come and receive forgiveness of sin. The Bible doesn't say that. That's man's preaching. You got to come and receive Jesus Christ. When Paul said how you get born again in Romans the 8th chapter, is there anything listed there about you have to come and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin? It ain't there. That has been added. That has been added by religious spirits in the church have preached this stuff and people just sit and gulp it and never read the Bible for themselves. They never study to see if the things said are true. And then go around and repeat it. And then we don't get to walk in the glory that God prepared for. You see, you can't, you know, it's like water. You taint water, you know. You know, if water's tainted, you know, it's tainted. That's it. And we have gospel. Instead of having the wonderful, clear gospel that is revealed from the book, we put a little bit of junk in it. And let me see, but all it does is it taints out from there. It's like drinking water that's tainted. You know, you might walk around feeling okay for a while, but after a while, you might be visiting the bathroom numbers of times. And that's the church. The church has almost lived in the bathroom. They have had a Christianity that people haven't walked in freedom. They've had a Christianity that's never allowed them to walk in the deliverance and things that God's had for them. They've never been able to walk free of what Satan is doing in the earth because they see themselves still bound in sin. They're always trying to appease God. Many Christians live their whole life trying to appease God. The Bible says we're workers together with Him. Most Christians never live a life of working together with Him. They're always just trying to keep God, and they think they're trying to keep God happy. They're trying, I don't want Him mad at me. I'm just going to do this. And they're doing all that they do. Instead of serving Him, they never serve Him. They're always trying to, you know, tiptoe around, you know. Well, you got to be careful about God. You know, He does have lightning bolts. You know, and He does have, you know, He does things. Well, you better watch it. You know, He got up the wrong side of the bed this morning, and no telling what's going to happen, you know. He's angry. And they sit and they talk this, and people live and die. Look, it is shame. It's a shame, and I'm not criticizing people when they've been taught and trained in this manner. God is not someone they'll talk about. If you're in trouble, go to God. When they've really been taught most of the time, God's pretty mad, and you know you're just an old sinner, and you probably did mess up, and He ain't ever forgot it because He's up there. He got a file cabinet on you that is so big. My God, one drawer is 2 miles long. Hey, there's 40 drawers in that thing. And He's been writing down everything. Every time you missed it, He knows about it. He's been watching you, you scumbag. He's been watching you, you awful, ugly thing. And the Bible says to the saint, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace. And they say, no, come to the file cabinet and He'll read all them things you did. Come to the file cabinet and He'll tell you every ugly thing that you've ever done. Oh, my. You know, we live in a glorious fixed system that God fixed on the behalf of all who believe on Him. And we've lived like it's been fixed against us. We've been like traveling to Las Vegas and going out there where the machines are 60% against you. They're fixed that way. So if you're going to gamble, you know, you got a 40% chance of winning because the state and the casino are going to get 60%. It's a fix. And that's exactly how the church lives. Christians live like it's a fixed system against them. And it's been a fixed system for us the whole time. It's been a 100% fixed system that man could walk in the glory and blessing of God. How could God tell us these things that we could have, but we could never achieve them or ever get to them? How could it be? I mean, this would be a whole fraud thing. If I can't arrive to it, if I can't get there, it's like the Lord spoke to me a couple years ago and said to me, you can go as far as you want to go. How far do you want to go? You just decide how far you want to go, and that's how far you'll go. What do you want to do? How far do you want to travel on this thing? He said to me, you just set the goal to whatever you want. Whatever you want, you can go there. It's a fixed system. God fixed the system for us to get ahead. You know, as Kenneth Hagin used to say, you know, it's sort of like, you know, somebody, their bank account, they have $1 million in their bank account and they just keep writing $2 checks. And that's concerning the new birth and God's, for the church. The church has this glory that's been given to us through the new birth. We have been born again, children of God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it in the universe. You're as righteous as Jesus Christ Himself is. The Bible says so. You're as righteous as Jesus is. You've been made the righteousness of God. If you're God's righteousness, could Jesus be more righteous than God? But you're the righteousness of God. Now think about it. You're the righteousness of God. And then the church amplifies the sin issue. I found this a long time. I remember Kenneth Hagin talked about dealing with the areas of sin. He said, if you're going to live in victory, you're going to walk in victory, you're going to have to see yourself in the light of who you are in the Word. He said, if you see yourself as a sinner and you view yourself in that manner, he said, you're always going to live in sin. Your view of yourself is going to determine your destiny with Christ. You either see yourself as what He says you are in the Word, and you believe that, and you start walking it, and you start saying those things. You're going to set the destiny. God sets the destiny for no man, other than the fact those who don't receive Him, we have in the book what happens to them. But did you see what happens in the book? The book tells us. The book tells us concerning the saint. It tells us concerning rewards of the saints. That some people will have reward and some don't. Some do the will and some don't. So the reward in the kingdom is based upon us. How much reward we want to have. You know, some people don't want much reward. They enjoy living in the flesh here pretty much. And they're not interested in much reward here. They're more interested in the rewards here. What they can have here. And so that becomes the things that they shoot for is what's here. Under some people, you know, that don't mean you can't have things here, but I found this out. If you get overhooked up to what's over there, it's easier to get stuff here. Kenneth Hagin listed 5 things that he told ministers at a big ministers meeting he had dealing with the areas of finances and stuff because people in error teach it. And he went back to show them that these ministers, all these big name ministers call it, as they're teaching on the areas of prosperity, that they were in the error the guys got into it back in the 50s and preaching things and it was wrong. And he said, it's going to bring shipwreck to ministries. And he says, it'll even bring premature death to some people. But he listed 5 things about how we should, and viewing and why we give. And the 5th one on the bottom was believing God to get something. He said, if you don't have the first 4 things listed right up above, he said, and down here, if it's all about what you can get, that can't be the top of the list. There's nothing the matter with you getting stuff. But that it cannot be your purpose that you're driven to do the will of God. Hallelujah. See, we can believe God for things and we're allowed to. You know, when Mike talked about this morning, that's in Scripture. It's true. But you can't make that your agenda because you end up selfish. You end up selfish and self-centered. It's about me just getting stuff. Well, it can't be that. See, I found out, you know, you start getting over those attitudes right about things and areas, it's very easy to run into the right thing. Many people are working, trying to achieve things that if they just got the right attitudes and started getting in line with what God says is important, a lot of things would just change and turn around for them. You know, we don't have to put getting stuff on top. You know, the Bible says, if you give, it shall be given, and you press down, shaken together, running over. Well, I'm going to tell you, God has his thing. I'm just sort of like this anymore. If God don't give to me, then I don't give to somebody else. So that's his problem. He said, if I gave, it'd be given unto me. If he quits his part, I'm allowed to quit my part. He started it. We need to understand. See, we don't see ourselves that. We see this out here. Well, God can do what he wants. Well, you're already limited. If you think God can do anything he wants, you're already limited. You're not going to go over it because you're going to think, oh, he might not want to do this for me, or he might want to do that, and you're just going to be limited. God don't do whatever he wants. God follows his word to a T. In this earth, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth. Jesus Christ said that himself. We're going to go in and teach and talk about these things because if we don't bring these revelations, these are the mysteries, because they're a mystery today. People say, oh, I know those scriptures. Sorry, they're a mystery. Can't live them. They're a mystery to you. Can't walk in them. They're a mystery to you. That's just the way it is. I don't care if you can quote them. Quoting them is totally different. Being able to quote something is totally different than having it on the inside of you where you can walk. And in what level can you walk in the revelation that you have? What level? Bible says some people are weak in faith, some are strong in faith, some were shipwrecked faith. You know, some people, you need to understand this. You know, I've learned this over the years. You know, I could believe things to a certain point in a certain area of revelation. But if I didn't gain in understanding things in that area, I could not attain in faith, couldn't get a hold of things. That's why some people can't ever come along and get divine healing. They can only sometimes use their faith and get a little bit or part of it, but they can never get a full healing because they don't have enough faith to bring it in. If you listen to those people, turn around and say, well, you know, the mustard seed faith, you only just need a little bit. I tell you, you need another dip. If you only need a little bit of faith, well, let me tell you, Jesus said how the mountain moves. You can't have any doubt in your heart. None. He didn't say, oh, you can get a little bit of unbelief and just a little bit of faith. You can still make the mountain move. He didn't say that. And he didn't teach mustard seed faith meant you only have to have a little bit of faith and you can make it go. If you believe that, I'm going to tell you what, you're on the road to defeat. You'll never see the importance of building your faith. You'll never see the importance of gaining in faith. Man, I've surely learned about the importance of gaining faith. You know, I've gotten a little taste of some things and I surely didn't get enough of it. And I know I'm going to have to deal with some things and build my faith so I can attain more, so I can grab into areas more. You need to understand, just like in the areas of finances, like Mike was talking today. But if you don't develop yourself in over the areas of faith and knowing how that stuff works, you're going to always be limited on how much you get. I don't care how much you give. I don't care if you sell your home and give all that you have and burn your body or whatever else. You can do all that stuff and it still won't work. It can only work as far as your faith will take you. It isn't based upon, you know, people say, well, how much I give. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Then there would have been nobody who didn't get back. Folks, there's loads of people who don't get back for their giving because they don't have the faith to bring it in. They don't know how to do it. And see, this is what we need to understand. It's having the faith. You know, we're not just saying these things, and we're not saying to criticize people or anything like that. But I'm just letting you know, we're on a venture on a road and there's mysteries and we want to line up with the mystery of God. And we're going to go on to look at what God did for us in Christ Jesus, who the church really is, our place of authority. These things need to be taught. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we don't have these things taught, you will never have faith from them. They come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They don't come by osmosis and just drop on you and fall on you. It's just like myself. The more, you know, I sit down, there's things that I just sit and listen, like Randy Greer has been teaching, you know, over the last few years. Many foundational things. I take them and listen to them over and over and over again. Building my faith, my confidence in areas, making sure that inside of me I'm believing in the right direction, hooking up in the right direction that I want to go. There's things in your life you want to achieve and you want to achieve. You see the Word of God says things to you, and you want to walk with God. You want to fulfill the plan of God. It's going to cost us to do that. You know, cost is a dirty word in the church today. It's a four-letter word because we preach a love gospel that everything is free. You can get into the kingdom without cost, but you'll never live in it without paying. And the payment is seeking God, going after God. I'm going to tell you what, it even gets in my wallet. I mean, God gets in my wallet all the time. He gets His hand in my wallet, talks to me. He always has His hand in my wallet. You know, I've heard people, they may mention about, you know, a lot of people today, they don't carry any cash on them. You know, they only use credit cards, they only do this. I'm going to tell you, you start carrying cash on you. God wants you sometimes to give money to people, and if you ain't got none on you, you can't obey God. God always talks to me, giving somebody some money. God talks to me all the time. And I'm going to tell you what, that's why God's blessing me. That's why God's doing things for me and telling me He wants to. Because I tell you what, I'm activated as a giver. That's what I am. I don't carry money just for Ed. Dear Lord, my God, I'll have to get a bigger wallet. I have to hire somebody to carry it for me. But He does it. Why? Because God wants to. I mean, we were just down in, minding my own business at the meetings down there, and the Lord told me to give somebody money. I want you to go give money. So I don't have to run around trying to figure out how I'm going to come up with some cash. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. God says, give them something, you can. If you don't have it to give to, He can't ask you, can He? And then He'll come over and bless Ed. You'll say, well, He must just do that for preachers. No, He don't. He does it for me because I can give. See, I always have something when you give. I mean, I've had times driving into Turkey Hill and a guy standing out in front of the place drinking a cup of coffee, and God says, go give him $10. Say, Lord, I have 11 on me. Well, okay. So we go give the guy the $10. They stand you and they're looking at you that. And I just always tell them, oh, the Lord wants to bless you. You know, God loves you. Here you go. Here's $10. He wants to bless you. And they just stand there and look at you like He says, sound like God settled the debt, didn't He? Didn't sound like He was holding anything against that guy, did it? Unless you ask the preachers. But see, I can carry something on you. God can turn around and say, hey, go do this and go do that. Sometimes God just has to give me a few bucks to somebody. Just, you know, it ain't no big deal. Then sometimes He adds zeros to it. I don't know. It depends what He wants to do. But the whole thing of it is, it's getting over. It's getting that mindset. It's beginning to get that change of what we are in this earth. You know, it's like when the Lord told me, He said, I want you to have millions. But I understand why. You know, He didn't say that about Ed, you know, 15 years ago. Because I would tell you what, I'd have been too money-minded. But He's trained me over time where God can trust me with bucks. God can trust me now. And I say, oh, you big-headed. No, I'm not. I just, you know, it's like going to God, went to college, trained to be a doctor, and He says, I'm a doctor. Oh, you shouldn't say that, you big-headed thing. Well, I'm sorry. I've been trained to be a giver, and how? And I tell you what, it is more blessed to give than receive. I love doing it. Since I got over and getting the right attitude about this thing, I want to tell you what, all I think about is that if I'm believing God for money, what I can do, there's somebody I know. If that there comes in, I'm going to be able to do this. I can give them this. I could do this for that. Hallelujah. You know, I want to be the guy someday that guy's a guy in an airplane, not somebody else. Tell me the stories about the other guys that did it. That's nice. Cheer them on. It's good. God bless them. But I want Ed to be able to, if somebody needs something, we don't have to go around and search for 87 people to try to get it together to make it work. Hallelujah. I can say, Lord, I can do that for you. You ask me, we'll do it. Hallelujah. I want to be the one. Glory to God. It's not showing off. I want to be able to give to every good work. He told me that's what my need was. Well, see, I always walked around and say, you know, I want to be able to give to every good work. And He told me that's what your need is. You know how I got that need? I kept saying it. And God said, man, you need it. Because it got in me. It got inside of me. And He said, you ain't going to be happy till you can do it. You won't be happy till you can do it. Most people, they didn't do it. They'd say, I'd like to. But it isn't in most people to do it. You got to put it there. You got to get it inside of you that you want to do something great. You get it inside and start talking those things and saying those things till it gets inside of you where you say, man, I just want to do something. I want to do something bigger. I want to do something better. I want to make this happen. I want to make that. Hallelujah. That's what I want to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, the Word of God's good. We're going to go more into this, and we're going to begin to look at the position and what we, the church, really are. The glory that God has put in the church. Hallelujah, the church. The reason we don't see today the glorious church is because they don't know that they are. And it's not being preached to them that they are. Hallelujah. And you just can't say, well, you're the glorious church. They got to know why they are and what they are. The position that we stand in. Hallelujah, in this earth. Where is our authority? What's the extent of our authority? How far can you go? What has Jesus Christ trusted you with? When you find out what He trusted you with, in my words, you're going to slap yourself. Say, my God, all that He's entrusted into the hands of the church is so phenomenal, is so incredible in this earth, hallelujah, that I'm sure it gets hard for people to look at to think that God could bend so good. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We're going to have communion this morning. In our communion this morning, hallelujah. I want you to see something as we have communion. I want you to see the account was settled by God. Hallelujah. God in Christ Jesus loved humanity so much that He settled the account of sin. The trespasses of men was settled. Now we know as Christians, the Bible tells us, John wrote in 1 John about Christians. If a Christian sins, then we ask forgiveness for what we did wrong as a Christian. If I'm born again, I sin, and I ask the Lord to forgive me for it. I did wrong. But to come to Christ, you didn't have to come to Christ to ask forgiveness of sin. I wouldn't have done you any good anyhow. You needed to get born again is what you needed. You're the same thing that I needed. Now, so we come to God, but we need to see ourselves in light. You know, we read the Scriptures. Jesus did what He did. He settled that account so you could become the righteousness of God. That's why He did it. So men, and I say men, I'm talking about mankind. Mankind could come to God through Jesus Christ and become God's righteousness. That's the Jesus. We take the communion of this one that we say we talk about His body and His blood. That's what He did. That's what He settled. That's the account that He settled. You could become God's righteousness. He settled an account to the fact that we were in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, in His death, burial, and resurrection, we were in Him. In Him. In Him as if we were in Him that we settled the account. God holds by faith as if you died and were raised from the dead. God looks at humanity through Jesus Christ and says, well, yeah, you died for your sin. You raised from the dead. It's all fixed. It's paid for. And through faith in Christ Jesus, it's credited to our account. See, our communion is a representation of what God did through Christ Jesus. The Bible tells that He was seated in heavenly places, which we'll read next week. He was seated in a heavenly place far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named. Not only in this age, but that was also to come. And put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Who is the fullness of Jesus? The body, the church. Oh, we were told us we were the low-down scum. I'm going to tell you what. The church is the fullness of God in the earth. I'm just going to tell you this. The church is God in the earth. The church is God in the earth. Paul wrote to the church that called them. And he called the sinner. He called them concerning they were sinners worshiping an idol, Belial. And he said, and you're Christ. He told the church that their name was Jesus. That's what he told them. They were Jesus. See, most of the church world is not identified with Jesus. We take communion today. I want you to identify with Jesus. The reason we take the communion, we eat the bread, we drink the stuff, it is identify one with Him. We're identified in His death, burial, and resurrection. We are identified in it all. Hallelujah. You're identified in the glory that He was raised in. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same glory. You're identified. And when we take communion this morning, we want to identify ourselves of who we really are. Get the religious junk out. Get the truth in. Hallelujah. Now, you understand this. We didn't get to this point because we did anything great. I'm not trying to say, we didn't do none of it. He gets all the glory for it. But nonetheless, it's true. It's what you are. You're identified with Christ. Saying different ain't being humble. That's being dumb. It is. Being dumb. Let's not be dumb. We're one with the body of Christ. We're one with His body. The body is one together. Hallelujah. We're one body and we're one blood with Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. We're not a separate body. The head does not work. Does your head do stuff without you? I said, no, my head's going to Kansas tomorrow. My body's going to Louisiana. Well, there'll be a funeral. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ and the church are one. Might be hard, your brain might be going tilt. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, it's true, and it'll never become a reality to you till you start to confess its truth. Hallelujah. We're what He says we are. We've become all that He says we are. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You this morning. Lord God, the richness of Your Word is absolutely phenomenal, and Your love for the church is so incredible. Your love for the body of Christ, Lord God. Father, if You were mad at us, You'd have kicked us out a long time ago. Lord, I know we've missed it so many times. We've blown the deal. But Lord God, You have never quit in Your mercy and love of reaching out to us. Even into these last days, You continue to reach out to bring us into line so You can fulfill Your glory through us. And I want to thank You for that. You're absolutely phenomenal. You're incredible. You're a God that doesn't quit. Lord God, You look at us in a completely different light than men look at themselves. Lord God, we look at ourselves and our weakness, and yet You have faith that we'll follow Your plans and Your purposes. And You keep coming and getting the Holy Spirit to bring us in enlightenment to the truth and keep revealing the mysteries of the Word of God to us so we can walk in them. Hallelujah. You never stop. You act like we're a bunch of people who really followed You. Hallelujah. Oh, You're an incredible God, and I love You for it. You're phenomenal. And Lord God, as today as we approach these communion elements, I just want to thank You. Lord God, it is so wonderful to be able to come today. Lord God, and Father, I pray that each one today, as they take these elements, the Lord God, the revelation falls upon them of their oneness with our Lord Jesus Christ, of the union that You have given us through Jesus Christ. Lord God, that we can walk with our Father God of heaven as close as we want to. We can commune with You as close as we'd like. We can commune with You and with Jesus and with the Holy Ghost as close as we would like. But Lord God, the doors are thrown open. Hallelujah. Lord God, You settled the books. And You even called the world and said, come on in. Hallelujah. So we thank You today. Father, thank You for loving us so much. Thank You, Lord God, that You're taking us to a higher place and a higher walk. Lord God, that we've ever walked before. Lord God, that we're going to see and understand things of the glory. Lord God, there's a day coming closely that we're going to leave this earth. And Lord God, when we leave, the Bible says when we see Him, we're going to know Him like He knows us. That means, Lord God, there's going to be some revelation coming forth in this last day. Lord God, that when we step off this earth with a new body, we're going to be ready to look into the face of our Savior, who we are going to know like He knows us. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Lord, the prophet Randy Greer said, You told him, Lord God, that before You come back, weeks on end that Christians are going to walk over and they're going to be more in the spirit than they are in the natural. Lord God, we're going to be caught. Lord, we're going to know about this, Your return. We're going to know about this walking. And Lord God, I can see that clear more and more and more now to what You're doing. You're bringing us into this glorious walk. You're bringing us into this glorious place that is so wonderful, that is so good. It's beyond the imagination of men. And it can only be viewed by faith in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank You for revealing these things to us. Thank You for today, revealing Your love and encouraging each one here today, Lord God. Lord, if there's any here they've missed the mark, I want, Lord God, to reveal to them of Your mercy and kindness, Lord God, of where they missed it. Lord God, You're more than willing to forgive. You're more than willing, Lord God, to clean up that mess. You're more willing to help them, Lord God, to turn things around, get back on track again, Lord God. Lord God, that You're the restorer. And Lord God, 2016 is the year of restoration. Hallelujah. And the church and God, God's people will be restored to Him. That there's a remnant that will walk in the glory, hallelujah, that will reveal God's glory to millions and billions of people upon the face of this earth. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.